morning, one and all. Good, good to see you guys, and it's wonderful seeing you guys. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes. Up and running here. Continuing our study, our brief study that we began last week about what suffering means in our lives. So, continue with a passage that's very dear, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself and delivered himself up for me. As I mentioned, we're in our brief interlude between Joshua and Judges. We're looking at something that is vital to our understanding as the children of God on this earth. We are here as ambassadors of the difference that Christ makes in and through his life being evidenced in those who believe upon him as Savior and Lord. We're looking at the sufferings of this age. No matter what kind of suffering, with regard to the statement recently made by someone who was troubled at the thought that God wants humans to suffer. The short answer is, God does not want us to suffer. He never did. He created mankind within the perfection of the Garden of Eden, where there was no suffering, or there was nothing that could harm a person. He presented mankind with the very best environment and kept it filled together with fellowship with himself. It was only after man chose to sin in selfish disregard to the consequences that choice would make for all the rest of humankind, that suffering entered this realm. That sin of Adam and Eve is what brought about the suffering that we now experience. It is by the grace and the mercy and the love of God that our suffering is now turned into something of value and purpose. Our world is under the curse of that choice of our essential parents in the Garden of Eden. Now, our fallen human nature must be dealt with in such a manner as to return us to the fellowship that has always been the intent of the Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth. In accordance with his so great love, he sent his only begotten Son to be the only avenue of redemption to those who will but accept his freely offered gift of salvation. In line with this, a heavenly view of what is being developed in us through the sufferings that we face after our new birth in Jesus Christ leads us to the Word of God that sustains our walk on this earth. It also serves to enlighten our minds as to what is truly taking place as our old nature is put to death and our new man, born from the crucifixion and the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, is being formed and nourished and growing strong in the midst of all that we undergo on this earth. We turn once again to the writing of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. Please open to Philippians 1, 29 and 30, wherein the Apostle explains that the suffering for Christ at this time is not something to be feared. By the working power of God, that suffering will actually be turned to the fuller witness of the glory of God manifested in those who believe in and trust in Him. Philippians 1, 29 and 30. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. It should be in the course of the life of every believer that we come face to face with all that which will cause us to either lean completely on and trust in and live for and grow in the glory of God, or be completely dejected in our self-centered and decaying dearth of joy and gladness and triumph. We will either face every trial and every tribulation in the power of God, vibrantly and majestically overcoming every obstacle through Him, or we will wither away in despair and despondency, in the abject futility and frailty of our human experience. The Apostle expounds upon that which will lead to our triumphant stand for the Lord within this realm in the very next chapter of this letter of Philippians, Philippians 2, 3 through 11. He highlights how we are to view all those around us, even those who may be inciting and inflicting our pain and suffering. We need to see them all in the light of the view of Jesus Christ, and to treat them in accordance with His testimony as our guide and our witness. He is the power through whom we can honor Him in all our dealings and situations. Philippians 2, 3 through 11. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Please note that the end of it all is the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune Godhead has invested himself into the course of our walk on this earth. There is nothing more exciting and energizing and abundantly satisfying than to find our contentment in living those lives that will bring glory to His name as we sojourn here for such a very short time. In accordance with that heart, after all that will honor the Lord, we find ourselves enjoined to the heart of Christ. This is in such closeness and identity that we should not find it strange that we are slammed with the same hatred and animosity and terrible torment as he suffered on this earth. We do not go out and look for this persecution. If we are living those lives that please the Lord, we must not be surprised if we find ourselves the object of the same contempt and antagonism and loathing that he suffered. As the apostle stated in Philippians 3, 7 through 11, we will count the loss of all the things of this world as nothing in comparison to the value of our fellowship with him in his sufferings. This will bring forth the fullness of our having gained everything of eternal consequence in Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So we know that as human beings, we will suffer in this fallen realm. We also know that we will have even more earthly suffering because we believe in and live in our relationship with Jesus Christ, who received the most violent and unwarranted and vicious persecution of this age. Therefore, it is not at all unexpected that the followers of Christ will be the victims of the same hardships and tribulations and demonstrative rage of this age. We do not, however, face all this with gloom and doom in our hearts and minds. The apostle, whom, as we have seen, was the recipient of all the physical and mental and emotional attacks of this realm, held true to Christ with the joy that he was so counted worthy of all that abuse. He faced it with the same attitude of humble thankfulness with which he encourages us, as recounted in Philippians 4:4-14. Philippians 4:4-14. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. The apostle then, in Philippians 4:19-20, proclaimed the very reason that he can rejoice always despite the tribulations and the trials and all the accompanying suffering. He reinforced the reality of how we can deal with every suffering, every pain, every tear, every ache of body and heart and mind, every pandemic's distress and pressure, every scheme and conspiracy of man, everything which assails us on this earth. Philippians 4:19-20. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Next, we turn to the writer to the Hebrews. In Hebrews 2:9-13. Here we are specifically given the details as to what and why Christ had to suffer as he did. Accordingly, we are to look to him and to keep our eyes on him as we undergo the ills of this age. The plan of God is in place through all the suffering to perfect us into his very family. Hebrews 2:9-13. But we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Brother James is the author of our next passage of consideration. In James 5, 9 through 13, we're very specifically instructed how to deal with one another in the midst of all that we're undergoing. Because we know that our suffering in this age is at work in us to bring forth a greater reliance upon the Lord and to cause us to grow in our relationship with him, we dare not give up nor give in to frustration. We are to hold our brethren up with esteem and with honor as we together endure all that will bring us into the increasing measure of Christ's life. James 5, 9 through 13. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. We will conclude this brief deliberation on the reasons and the purposes accomplished by God in our sufferings in this present age by reading several passages written by the Apostle Peter. We start with 1 Peter 2, 18 through 22, wherein the apostle brings us right to the point of how we are to face our times of suffering and persecution. We are to follow the example of Christ in the course of how we live our lives on this earth. Unlike us, Christ was perfect and absolutely undeserving of any of the abuse of this world. Yet he entrusted himself to our Heavenly Father and bore it all without any thoughts of retribution or turning away from the course that he was born to walk. 1 Peter 2, 18 through 25. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if, when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Again, in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 17, the apostle details the manner in which we are to bear with everything. We are to not let ourselves become entangled with even the thoughts of revenge or getting even with those who are attacking us on this earth. Much more, we are to count it a blessing that we are partakers of the suffering for the sake of righteousness. We count on the Lord God Almighty to see us through it all and to keep us blameless to the very end of our brief sojourn on this earth. We see everything as the means whereby the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the endurance of the righteousness of God can be established and evidenced in the manner of our walk at this very time in our lives. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 17. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. The apostle then, in 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11, sums up the every aspect of this discussion. God turns the curse of the fallen nature of man with all its profuse manner of suffering and ills and strife and hardships into that which will work to the very best interests of those who love Him and trust Him and live unto Him through His redemption in Jesus Christ. It is truly but for a short time that we undergo those afflictions and the pain-filled elements of this age. It all only serves to cause everyone who is called to eternal life in Jesus Christ to be strong in our convictions and our faith and our trust and our perfection in Him. So be it. 1 Peter 5:10-11. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless us as we go forth this week.